So the ordinance committee will convene at 6:08 PM. First item is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on April 17th, 2023. Do we have a motion?
Move to accept.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 18-22 sub A, an ordinance penalizing owners or lessees of vehicles used to carry materials to a place at which they are illegally dumped. This is Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Foley. This would be second passage. Who's taking point? Councilman Foley? Sponsor requests favorable action. Again, this is second passage. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments? Do any members of the council have any questions or comments? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 4-23, an ordinance amending Chapter 32, Article 2 of the City of Warwick Code of Ordinances to update standards and processes relative to the regulation of donation drop-off boxes. This is Councilman Howe and Councilman Ricks. This is second passage. And who's taking point here?
Respectfully request favorable action.
Councilman Howe respectfully requests favorable action. Again, this is second passage. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments? Do any members of the council have any questions or comments? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That appears to conclude ordinance committee at 6:10 PM. Or I lied to you and there's a second hidden page. Yep. So next we have PCO 9-23, an ordinance to prohibit parking on the west side of Lauren Court on school days between 8:30 AM and 9:30 AM and between 2:30 PM and 3:30 PM. This is Councilman Lattiser. It would be second passage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Respectfully request favorable action on PCO 9-23.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
PCO 10-23, an ordinance to prohibit parking on the south side of Castle Rocks Road between 133 and 179 Castle Rocks Road. This is Councilman Gebhardt, and it would be second passage.
Respectfully ask for favorable action.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 13-23, an ordinance amending Section 64-4 of the City of Warwick Code of Ordinances to provide regular city pay to city employees who utilize military time. This is Councilman Howe, and it would be first passage.
Thank you, Chairman. I respectfully request favorable action. Again, this is to clean up and to assist those who step up and serve the country to not miss out on their time of service within the City of Warwick as they go off and do their necessary training. As we know, the posture of the National Guard has changed over the last 20 years. It's definitely their responsibilities have increased. I think we all heard that there were pilots called up to go assist with the fire departments to extinguish the fires over in East Greenwich. They're on 24-hour call, and sometimes the time in service, if they get called up, does not count, and we're just trying to clean that up so that they are not punished or in any way disciplined or lose out on time in service because they take that extra responsibility and action under their belt. So I respectfully request favorable action. Thank you. Oh, and I'm sorry, Chairman, if I may say also, I apologize. This is in par with state and federal laws throughout the country, this ordinance. Thank you.
So it sounds like it brings us up to speed with you, Sarah. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Councilman Ricks?
I do think that this is a good idea.
It only seems right and fair. So I suppose that my question is that it does seem like something that should be part of the contracts with the collective bargaining units. So I'm not sure if there are any provisions in the various contracts or that either are in accordance with the proposed legislation or contradict the proposed legislation, since this legislation is effectively changing an ordinance that's already currently in place.
That's a great question, and that actually was part of a small part of the discussion. This is an ordinance thing, so it's not a contract. It's not a negotiating thing. This is something that the city puts forward that then honors any requests from here on out could be, but this is more of an ordinance issue. Seeing that the city is offering this policy from that perspective, it also kind of broad brushes. So therefore, it's not used as for one department has more than the other department. This is the city saying, we support all those who step up in uniform, and here's the standard that we have in place.
I suppose that my follow-up question on that, too, would be that when persons are called up for duty under the National Guard, do they receive pay based on the days that they are serving in the National Guard?
They receive pay from the National Guard if they are called up and activated. What this does is it's just like another column, if you will, because what's happening now for members to get their time and credit towards retirement, time and credit towards pension to contribute, they're using vacation days. So what's happening is you have members who are not serving that are taking full advantage of their vacations by contractual obligation, and you have members who are in the National Guard that are getting called up for whatever the reason may be, whether it be to fly a helicopter over to dump water over a fire, or whether it be a natural disaster or down to the border, or as we have some deployed now overseas in Europe, they will then lose that time in service. So quite frankly, two young police officers, I'll use the police officers as an example, can go on the job at the age of 23 with the same qualifications. The one member who is not in the National Guard and serving our country will retire after 25 years of service, where it might take the National Guard member 30 years of service to retire with the same pension and time in service and pay.
So from my reading of this, the current ordinance, before that is the legislation in front of us today, I'm reading the relevant paragraph as stating, city employees who utilize military time will receive, excuse me, the current draft, the current ordinance, without looking at the new draft that's before us this evening, it currently reads, city employees who utilize military time will not receive their regular city pay. However, benefits and time in service for pensions or seniority will not be interrupted. So
it's the donation of the money. It's the equal donation, the pay of the service member. So they will come back and owe money. They'll have to pay money because they are not receiving the pay. What this ordinance does is give them, I'm sorry, I'm just 12 or 14 days. I think it's 12 days towards that time that they can choose anytime they want. Please keep in mind that members of the National Guard who are hired and serve, as we're all aware, they serve on the weekends and then they are required to do 2 weeks a month in the National Guard, 2 weeks a year, 1 weekend a month. If they are a new recruit police officer or a new recruit firefighter or a new recruit DPW worker or even a library worker, they're usually scheduled during the weekends. So either way, they have to sacrifice pay. So they have a decision. Do they give up the vacation time? What we as a city are doing now is bringing it up so that we do offer them then 12 they can choose. And then that can also count towards, they can use that money towards the payment towards their pension, the contribution towards their pension system.
And this is a situation where the content of the collective bargaining agreement, and indeed even the current ordinance, is irrelevant because federal law preempts both we need to be brought into compliance with USERRA. So we're doing that.
So I suppose that, you know, my one real concern here, because I think that there may be a couple of different ways to accomplish the same objective. And I certainly agree with the objective that this legislation would seek to accomplish of not penalizing members of the National Guard for their service. So the one concern that I have is that if, as this legislation is written, that city employees who utilize military time will receive their regular city pay, then at the same time that those individuals are also receiving pay from the federal government or for their service in the National Guard, then it's effectively double compensation. But I suppose that my thought on that would be perhaps if instead of capping at only 12 days of military time, perhaps if there were no cap, someone could take unlimited military time and thereby not have to take any vacation days, not have to worry about running out of vacation days, certainly nothing like that. And perhaps there's a way with, I suppose, some more complicated language to recognize that the time in service for pensions and seniority shall not only not be interrupted, but that they shall get credit for any military time for purposes of calculating the pensions and seniority or the like. Because I can certainly see how that that language of that it simply, quote, will not be interrupted, quote, would not necessarily be sufficient. And then you could, I imagine, see those circumstances of someone having to effectively work for the city for 30 years instead of 25, which that's not equitable. So I suppose that my suggestion would be perhaps there's a different way to frame this just to avoid the potential complication of double compensation. And I apologize for not bringing this up to your attention before the meeting. It was, I was initially looking at this and it seemed that the language here was a simple and elegant solution, but then a constituent was actually texting me about this shortly before the meeting, and I realized, gosh, I guess that it could be possible for there to be double compensation here.
I can only answer this, Councilman, is that, you know, I refuse to pull service of the military into the same as service to the city. The duties, the responsibilities, the challenges are totally different. I see it a little differently. It's not just a second job. It's not a part-time job. It is possibly a life-altering experience. And we, as the Councilman Sinapi said, we are just basically getting up to par and meeting the standard of the state and the federal government and other municipalities that will actually offer more of the days. We're the second largest municipality. The National Guard is having trouble recruiting members into their force, as is the military as a whole. And we're coming short on some of our positions too, whether it be teachers, fire, police, and workers. So we have to make sure that we're fair across the board and that we're on par. And but this right here, this legislation is to ensure that we do say we support what they're doing. Because as I said, this is the National Guard's posture has changed over the last 20 years. It is not your father's National Guard. And I'm not saying your personal father. This National Guard's job and responsibilities has grown extensively. And the challenges have too. And we're just basically trying to keep. So I don't see it as a double dipping. I had someone, a constituent called me and said the same thing. And I respectfully disagreed. I don't see it as double dipping. Thank you.
And given that, and every day that this goes undone, invites litigation, and you don't mess around with USERRA because you lose, because it's extremely strict and very easy to win on as a result. I wouldn't be comfortable holding this at all, and I wouldn't be comfortable modifying this on the fly, given that this was already done in part via legal counsel. So if any changes were to come to it, someone can by all means introduce at the docket session more changes to it, and we can modify it further, but we don't want to be out of compliance with USERRA for any longer than we need to be. It's bad news. You don't mess with that federal law. Councilman McElroy?
Yeah, I do not look at this as double dipping. It's the same benefit that state employees get. If they do their annual 2 weeks, they get their 2 weeks military pay, and they get leave with pay for military leave from the state. So I consider it the same as a benefit state workers get.
And Council President McAllister?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with the chairman and Councilman McElroy on this, and I do want to say that both the city solicitor and the council solicitor helped draft this. We held it at the last meeting to make sure that we were in compliance and everything like that. And I just want to thank Councilman Howe for identifying this issue, bringing it towards us. The councilman also got a fiscal note, so we all know that there is... minimal, if any, impact, fiscal impact. And the way that the councilman explained it to me when he docketed is these men and women are not only serving their city, they're serving their country. And then they're going to be away from their families. And then to come home, if they want to keep up for their time towards their pension time, they either have to use their vacation days or continue to work longer. And that's really... not fair. We want to help individuals that want to serve our country. We also want to make sure that we are doing what the rest of the country and the state is doing as well. So I commend Councilman Howe for bringing this forward. I thank the council solicitor and the city solicitor for going over the language on this, and I will be supporting this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, so basically, you're making an amendment to an existing ordinance, right? The majority of this language is already here. And what you're doing is you're simply making the changes to eliminate our employees, whether it be fire, police, municipal, librarians, whatever, from having to utilize their vacation time while they are, for all intents and purposes, putting their lives on the line for each and every one of us. Correct?
Yes, sir, and their health care. I didn't right. mention that earlier. Their co-pays on their health care. Yes, sir. Yes, Councilman.
Okay. Yeah, I'm clear on this, and I will be supporting it. Good job.
Thank you, Councilman.
Any other members of the council have any comments or questions? Councilman Ricks.
I do see the fiscal notes stating that there's an anticipated cost of approximately $24,000 per year. I don't have an issue with that given the amount paid on the salary and benefits, and given that $24,000 would be to benefit our employees who are serving in the National Guard specifically and in compliance really with the state and federal policies there. I really don't see an issue there. I do want to just point out that so long as it remains the city's policy for only 12 days of military time, that's actually why it causes that amount fiscally to be so low, relatively speaking. Unfortunately, it wouldn't necessarily solve the problem of those National Guard members having to dip into their vacation days or the like. But I do see this as at least a major step forward. And so for all of those reasons and based on this discussion, I think that, yes, I would be comfortable supporting this at this time.
Thank you, Councilman. And Chairman, if I may, to wrap this up, just to give everyone a perception of what we're talking about here, 12 months a year to one weekend a month, so that's 24, plus the 14 days, that's 38. We're looking at 38 to 40 so days of service that they're required to give. And as I said, rookies that are coming on who are usually the ones in the National Guard, they're going to give those days up. They have to work weekends. They have to work third shift, so or second shift, because that's where the young bucks start. So this is 12 days is a small percentage of the 40 and more that they're obligated to give on regular scheduled time. So this is, again, like the chairman said. So I want to thank you for the clarification. And thank you, Chairman. And I respectfully request favorable action.
Any further comments from members of the council? Any comments or questions from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 14-23, an ordinance relative to repealing the alarm review panel, transferring responsibilities to the police department, and increasing the false alarm assessment schedule. This is Councilman Gebhardt and Councilman Foley. It'll be first passage.
Thank you, Chairman. Respectfully request favorable action on this. Councilman Foley and I have served on the alarm review panel for the last 3 years. The licensing department has an excellent handle on the false alarm assessment process. Apparently, this panel was introduced at a time in the past, some may remember, when there were many, many, many violations and they were not being kept up with. And there was no process for dealing with them, so the council felt the need to get involved. At this point, this is just an administrative task that they are well equipped to handle within the police department. We've spoken with the chief. We've spoken with licensing. Everyone is comfortable with this change, actually more than comfortable. They are enthusiastically supportive of the change and request your support. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Council President McAllister.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Councilman Gebhardt, for putting this forward. I've served on that committee for a number of years, and I think it is well past its expiration date, and I'm glad to see that we are moving forward. So thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
It's not every day that you see the legislative body giving up some of its authority, but in this case, it appears warranted. That's all.
Any further, Councilwoman Travis?
Thank you. I was one of the first people that went on that. It was so many alarms. I think I served over 10 years on it. But now, I mean, we did bring it up to where, but we made money with we made good money with it. So, and the best part, it was people making them alert about having false alarms. The problems it could cause, especially when the policemen are rushing to get somewhere and it's a false alarm and there could have been a serious accident on the way. But we did clean up all those. There were so many. So that's good now that we don't have to have that many. But I'm glad to see that we got to that point and that the police are going to take it over. Thank you.
Chairman, if I may.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Just to Councilman Travis's point, I just wanted to clarify for the group here. Part of what we're doing here is actually increasing the fee schedule. There will be no change to the existing process, you know, so the police department will still be enforcing false alarms. They will still be assessing a penalty should someone have excessive false alarms, especially of the hold-up type, which are especially disruptive to the police department if they are in fact false. There's an educational component to this, a program that a business owner can enroll in to have their initial fines waived. That program, which was rolled out in this initial legislation, you know, whenever this was put into effect, remains in effect. The only change here is that the fines will no longer go through this panel to be assessed. We're simply deputizing the police department to assess those fines along with the schedule and sort of the methodology that's been well crafted over the, you know, 20 or so years that this panel has been active. So thank you.
Do any of the members of the council have any questions or comments? Any members of the public have any questions or comments? And it is notable that of the tiers of fees, only two of the four are going up. And the discretion for the highest tier, instead of being with the review board, will now be switched to the municipal court. But even the tiers that are going up in price are very modest, from $75 to $100, and from $100 to $150. So it's pretty tame, and it shouldn't break the bank for anyone, especially when you get up to three false alarms with no fee. So this should only really be hitting those who are frequent flyers, so to speak. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And now, maybe, ordinance will conclude at 6:35 p.m.
The next committee is public safety, and that can start at this time.
Public Safety Committee meeting comes to order at 6:35. First order of business is acceptance of the minutes of the March 7th meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Do we have a second?
Pardon me, I'm double checking to make sure that was not the meeting that I was absent at.
I'll second then, to make it easy. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Abstain.
I didn't know if you... Okay, the first item is consent calendar. The first item is acceptance of the minutes of the meeting held on April 3rd. Do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
First, PCR 50-23, Joanne Capuano is the claim. The recommendation is to pay in the amount of $329. Looking over the documentation, it's all in order. Any comments from members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $329.99.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Second is... I'm sorry.
The claim for Roberta Cuna. The recommendation is denial. And there's numerous reasons for the denial. Any comments from members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
I do see the recommendation memo with the numerous reasons. For example, the affidavit is not notarized. There's a lack of two estimates as to the tire damage in beyond the sole invoice. I do, however, see an invoice for towing separate from the invoice for the damage to the tire. I would suggest that putting aside the storage fee that's part of the towing invoice, if that $35 is removed, that becomes $232.50. While that would tend to be more than I would pay for that type of a tow, it appears to have been reasonably necessary under the circumstances for a tow to have been done, and it seems that this person was acting reasonably, calling up a tow company. So I would suggest that because we have the evidence that that tow was performed on the date in question, that it would be appropriate to have a favorable action in the amount of $232.50. However, because that is less than the maximum of $300, it seems most appropriate to send a notice to the claimant to advise them to come to the next meeting that this matter will be heard at in the event that the claimant, Roberta Cuna, is not present here this evening.
Thank you. Any comments from the council? Any comments from the public? So as per our previous actions, I'm looking for a motion to hold.
Move to hold to the next available date.
June 5th? Oh, what's the next PCR? Lynn, could you talk up just?
PCR 5323, Councilman.
5323? Thank you.
Chairman, can you just hold on one moment before taking a vote? I apologize. I'm trying to pull it up. I'm confused on one item.
Is that Councilman Sinapi?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. What was your comment?
If you could just hold the vote for just a moment, please, so I can verify one thing. Yeah, so as part of, because I assume the claimant will be reached out to, as part of that effort, could it please be brought to their attention that there should be a third estimate? Because I see two on the front.
And I hear your request. I have no problem making that request of finance.
Yeah, to whomever. I apologize.
So that's fine. So
through the chair, if I may.
One moment. As a chair, my recommendation is to go along with the recommendation of the council of Earl, Mr. Earl, and deny for those reasons as stated. So in the past, when we know or believe to be denying a claim, we hold it. So in the meantime, finance should reach out to them and tell them why.
Agreed. I just want to, so maybe I'm not, wasn't following properly then. It was my understanding Councilman Ricks was inclined to approve?
That was what he requested. There's been no motion. Once I'm done with the council, the public, I will be making a motion to hold and notify the claimant that the chair's recommendation is to deny.
All right, then I am on the same page then. I just want to make sure that, like you said, you can mention it to finance. That way, if it turns out the committee or the council recommends favorable action, that way we then don't go back to her yet again and say, by the way, now you got to get a third estimate, as opposed to just getting it all done in one go. Even if we end up denying, at least then she won't be going back and forth.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, just more of a comment. You know, we just continue on with these things, you know, meeting after meeting. It's not just in the claims, it's in other items as well, where we don't get all the information that we should be getting. Some cases, we don't get any of the information that we should be getting. But to hold this, to have the claimant appear before us after all of the items that the director of DPW has indicated disqualify this claim, to what point? Why are we going to continue to go through these motions when the claimants are not submitting the claims in the proper time? They're not submitting the documents they're supposed to submit in the proper time. The department head, in this case, DPW, goes through all the motions and takes the time to review all these things, tells us that these are the reasons that we're denying this claim. The director didn't say, I'm denying this claim because I don't think the pothole existed in the first place. He gave you a litany, you, us, he gave us a litany of reasons why he's denying the claim. And that is based upon the ordinance that governs these claims. So what are we doing? We just approved another basketball hoop that a snowplow truck hit. Well, where was that basketball hoop? If that hoop is in the street where it doesn't belong, or on city property where it doesn't belong, why are we putting the blame on a snowplow driver for hitting something that shouldn't have been there in the first place and making the taxpayers pay the bill? This is like, this is just crazy that this is going on. So
sir,
that's my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. I'm not going to address the basketball hoop, but this claim, I had a lengthy conversation with the council solicitor, with the council president, and what we have done is when we are recommending a denial, we, in the past 3 years, have held so that we can notify the claimant so that they can come if they want to add any new information. So last council meeting, after this committee did work on a claim, it was brought to the full floor, and it was held on the floor because we weren't following a procedure that is not laid out in the ordinance, that has just been policy from this committee or this council. So what I have done is I've done my homework, I've done the research, I've reached out to people, and I am following what is recommended to me so that this will be handled in a timely fashion, and we will be following it step by step going forward. I had asked for clarification. I have gotten it, and I am confident and assured that this is the way to do it. So are there any other comments from council? Yes, Councilman Ricks.
I'll just briefly add that from my experience and my understanding of how this committee approaches these claims, we require an invoice and two estimates, or alternatively three estimates, when it comes to damage to tires and the like, part of pothole damage. But when it comes to towing, that's a little bit different because we don't have the same concerns about towing as we do for tires. If a person calls up a tow truck and they get a bill, then the bill is what it is. Here, I would be comfortable approving certain line items on the towing invoice because that's set in stone. You can't ask someone to go back in time before an accident even happened and sign up for AAA. But when it comes to the estimates and invoice for repair of a tire, that's where a person actually does have free choices and where we can require someone to go out and get estimates even after the work has already been done, as well, as burdensome and as unproductive as that may be, it's necessary to avoid some of the issues that have been a concern to this city council in the past. I certainly understand that. So I wanted to just clarify as to that point that I would be comfortable with approving for certain line items under the towing, but of course, I would not be comfortable approving for anything relating to the tire damage if the additional two estimates aren't provided along with the invoice that has been provided. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from Councilman Sinapi?
So to Councilman Lattish's point, the reason why we have that process where we, when we deny, or when we plan to deny, is because Councilman Gallucci used to bring it up all the time that he didn't like that people have to sit in the audience for hours and hours on end, potentially for multiple meetings, just to get rubber stamped one way or another. Well, rubber stamped isn't fair because we do consider everything, but functionally from their perspective, when we have all the data and whatnot, to them, it likely comes off as a rubber stamp. Same with when we have all the reasons to deny, it's usually pretty straightforward. So I had requested a change, and rather than an ordinance change, I believe the mayor at the time requested to go through a different route, basically by our by policy instead, so that when we are going to deny it, instead it's just going to be held and then the claimant notified, so that way then they can come and attend a meeting when it's actually appropriate, as opposed to just wasting their time and adding insult to injury, especially when we're going to deny, or at least we plan to. If it's desired for it to be an ordinance, and frankly it was always my preference, I'd be happy to do that, to change it formally in that way. But just wanted to let you know the background and frankly what I'd prefer going forward anyway, but that's all.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Comments from the public. As chair, I'm making a motion to hold till June 8th. Do I have a second?
June 5th.
Second.
I'm sorry, June 5th. I'm sorry, 5th, right? My mistake. Held to June 5th. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next claim is for Marie Jackson. Again, this one was recommended to deny. Any comments from the committee? Councilman Ricks?
I do see the recommendation memo and the rationale for it. However, I believe that the concern as to the timely reporting of this is addressed in the documentation provided, as the date of loss here was March 30th, and the invoice, I should note that it is an invoice, not an estimate, as otherwise noted in the packet. The invoice for $280.06 from Firestone is also dated March 30, 2023, the same date as the date of loss. So that addresses concerns relating to, as someone might say, mismatched dates. The lowest of the three estimates is $247.19. So given that the concern over the difference in the dates is resolved by looking at the invoice, I would suggest that it would be appropriate to approve in the amount of the lowest of the three estimates or invoices provided, which would be the $247.19.
Thank you. Any other comments from the committee? Comments from the council? Comments from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $247.19.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next claim is for, I'm sorry if I pronounce this incorrectly, Anahit Kazaitian. This was recommended for approval in the amount of $118.85. Any comments from the committee? Councilman Ricks.
I'm not entirely sure why the recommendation memo had that particular amount. As I look through the packet of documentation, I do see a total of, I believe, three different types of services that were applicable here: the replacement of the hubcap, work on the wheel, and the alignment. There is the invoice from Belize that covers all of the above. It appears that there is one estimate as to the wheel, there are two estimates as to the hubcap, and there are two estimates as to the alignment. If we add up the amounts that are the lowest of the three for each of the alignment and the hubcap, then we are already in excess of that minimum amount, or rather the cap, rather, of $300. Therefore, I would recommend favorable action in the amount of $300.
Thank you. Any other comments from the committee? From the council? Any comments from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next one is a recommendation to deny. Comments from the committee? This is for Julie Lena. Any comments from the council? Any comments from the public? Since we held the last one that was recommended for denial, I'm looking for a motion. I need a PCI, am I correct?
Pardon me, Chairman, I meant to speak earlier.
If we hold, do we need a PCI?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
But before I do that, Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. So in this case, and pardon me for taking a minute there, I wanted to make sure to bring this up electronically too, so I have the packet in front of me. I was a little bit confused as to the rationale for the denial here. From what I am seeing, it appears that the person did properly submit their registration. They properly submitted the notarized affidavit. And let's see, the date of the incident is March 14th. The date of the affidavit is March 21st, so it is within the 7 days, even though we have been lenient on that as in relation to COVID-19. And then going over this, I do see the invoice plus there are the two estimates for each of the tire and as to the rim. When all of those are added up, the lowest of each of those three, it gets to over the amount of $300. So seeing, unless I am missing something here.
Well, sir, if I may, the reason for the denial is that there is no evidence, specific location of the pothole, no photos, no police report. That's the information that is missing. And for that reason, it was recommended denial. I'm looking to give it a PCR, hold it, and if that this claimant can come forward with that information, then we'll reconsider. But the chair is looking for a recommendation, a PCR, and then a recommendation to hold, as we have done in previous denials.
Thank you. Looks like I may not have received that denial memo in the packet along with all of the other information. I'm not sure why a denial recommendation isn't in my packet, but hearing that explanation, yes, holding it seems like the best course of action here.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? From the public? So do we? I need a PCR, Lynn, please.
5423.
5324? Yep. Thank you. So this is. You got it backwards. The other one was 23. Oh, I'm sorry. So this is 5423. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. Thanks for catching. So this now has a PCR, so I'm looking for a motion to hold till June 5th on PCR 5423 to claim for Julie Alina.
Move to hold.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Chairman Foley?
Yes, sir.
I respectfully request that we pause the Public Safety Committee. We're right about 7 o'clock right now, but what I would like to do before we start the council meeting is we have two items of note in the intergovernmental and in appointments, and I believe there are individuals from the public here for those, so I would like to have those committees meet first, then we will start the council meeting. We have a special guest here, and then we can come back into committees after that. Does that work for you?
Works for me. The Public Safety Committee is in recess.
Thank you very much. So at this time, I ask for the Intergovernmental Committee to start.
Yeah, and it's not Jefferson Boulevard, but Jefferson Boulevard is a long street.
Getting kicked out. That's not good. I have a gift.
It is now 7 p.m. and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on April 17th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
I hear a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The first item on the agenda is PCR 48-23, a resolution memorializing the General Assembly to enact legislation amending state law to provide eligibility for reimbursement for interest payments on approved school construction projects prior to project completion. Council President McAllister, on behalf of Mayor Picozzi.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So before us this evening is a resolution that will ask the General Assembly to amend the way that RIDE reimburses cities and towns when they issue bonds to build new schools. So as you know, back in November, the residents of Warwick voted to build two schools for $350 million. We are working on that, and but before us this evening is what I believe would be a game changer, would be very helpful to the city of Warwick and to the state, any community that is looking to build a school, which would change the way the reimbursement is paid on interest. So the way the reimbursement is paid right now, if the city of Warwick were to issue the bonds to build these new schools, for a number of years, we'd have to come up with the interest payments in the city budget, the annual budget each year, millions of dollars to pay the interest. And then after 4 or 5 years, we get a balloon payment from the state reimbursing us for those interest payments. So this would not cost the state any additional funding. It would just have them making payments earlier than they would. But that would be a game changer for the city of Warwick to be able to change and get reimbursed as we go on these interest payments would really help the city of Warwick and every community looking to build schools. So the city is looking to do everything possible. We are doing our homework on these bonds, and that is not before us at this evening's. We're not talking about whether we're going to issue the bonds or not, but
We want to have as many tools available to us. So this would be one tool that I really do believe would be critical and a game changer for the city of Warwick, that if we can get reimbursed, if we issue bonds and a pay-as-you-go period, it would be great. So I know we have the finance director here this evening to speak on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. We've talked about this together. The mayor is working with us on this. I know that we have Director Schaefer here. So thank you for your time, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Director Schaefer.
Well, it is a unique situation here because we have a project that's a long-term project. We have a, is that better? There we go. We have a project that's probably a three-year project. And the way it works is you don't get paid any, you don't get reimbursed by the state until you have project completion. And I've had communication with other communities who are in the same. We have another big one in East Providence. I was just communicating with the finance director in East Providence today. I've talked to the Johnston finance director, talked to Providence a little bit. They've all got some long-term projects. And the carrying charge of the interest, what happened is you're going to get a big balloon payment 3 years afterwards. But in terms of constructing a budget where we have to pay all the interest each for 2 or 3 years before getting reimbursed, that doesn't make any sense to me, and it really is obstructive to our being able to proceed. So we've had some communication with the legislative delegation. There's another bill that's already in that is, I would say, greedier. This just does one thing, and if we get a favorable action on this, we'll communicate with our legislative delegation. I know it's past the due date for generic legislation, but there is a bill in there. It takes our stakes out our position on this. It will help other communities, and I think we'll get support from the League of Cities and Towns and from some of the other communities that would be positively affected. The Rhode Island Department of Education did a fiscal note internally, which they shared with some legislators. So if we did all $350 million up front, we'd have $8 million of interest we'd have to pay on our own for 2 or 3 years, depending upon the completion. Our financial advisor thinks that we'll probably do two tranches, say 150 plus million each time, 2 years apart, have enough money for the construction, then another series to complete the construction. So then you're still talking $4 or $6 million, depending upon completion date, that we have to pay up front. Then we'll get a balloon payment 3 years later. But this is trying to get rid of the cliff that we have here on this. And I don't know. It's true that it doesn't cost the state any money in nominal dollars, but it does mean the state will pay more money up front. And that's probably the confining thing here, but I think we should proceed. There's no reason not to.
Any questions or comments from the committee?
So just a comment and a request. The request is to be added as a co-sponsor. The comment is, this seems like a no-brainer for the state too, for the purposes of prudent budgeting. So they too can have this as a consistent line item, as opposed to just like we would have a cliff at the end. Even if they have to pay more up front, it just makes more sense. There's no reason to kick the can other than optics. And it only hurts us as the municipality. So passage seems like a win-win for everybody.
I would also like to be added as a sponsor. Any other questions?
Added as a sponsor also.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also like to be added as a sponsor regarding this particular piece of legislation. It doesn't mean I've changed my mind on the big picture. Make that perfectly clear, because I have not. However, it doesn't make any sense to me at all that the taxpayers should have to front the money to pay for this interest over whatever years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. And it seems odd to me that those taxpayers that are footing the bill for the next 3 or 4 years waiting for the state to reimburse us, suppose they move out of the city. Are they going to get a refund check from the city or the state? I don't think so. So, yes, I agree. I think this is a good piece of legislation. It's something that certainly should have been done a long time ago, but very grateful that it is being done now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis?
I also like to be added on as a co-sponsor.
Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt? Sponsor. Councilman Ricks?
I'd like to be, to request to be added on as a co-sponsor. And I would also just add that, although I know that some of the members of this council have different feelings about the schools, it's my opinion that this is something that's very important for the city, something that the voters approved. And I think that any legislation, whether here at the city level or at the level of the General Assembly, that helps us accomplish this goal, I'm all for it. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would like also to be added as a co-sponsor. I am in support of this legislation, and thank Peter for giving us the analysis you did and sending us the information. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Hello, my name is Darlene Netko, resident, homeowner, taxpayer of Ward 7, lifelong resident of Warwick, graduate of Warwick Public Schools. I currently teach at Tollgate High School. I've taught for 33 years in Warwick. I've taught 35 years overall, and I'm president of the Warwick Teachers Union. And I agree that this is a very important piece of legislation that you're passing this resolution to go to the state. I hope that the state concurs and that it gets passed, because remember, the voters did pass this bond. The voters have spoken. They want these two new high schools. So whatever you need to do in order to get that done, please do it. This is on the heels of your previous resolution asking to extend deadlines for the project to begin. That's great too. Whatever needs to be done, because I can't stress enough the need for these schools. I've, you know, been up here before speaking. The you know, Pilgrim High School can't have any more electrical upgrades put in it. I teach in a room at Tollgate without windows. The temperature has gone up. I walked into that room today, it was about 100 degrees. And even with 3 air purifiers going, thanks to, you know, COVID, it's still stuffy and oppressive in there. So we need new schools, not just for the sake of the students in the schools and education, but for the city as a whole. We know that new schools revitalize a community, will bring new residents in, will keep some of our students that might be opting for pathways in other districts or charter schools. And the point that these schools are very important for this city cannot be emphasized enough. And regarding paying interest on a bond, let's not forget that the Warwick Public Schools had to pay the interest on a bond for about 10 years at a cost of about at least $10 million, the only city in the entire country that made its schools pay interest on a bond, Warwick. The only city back in 2010 that cut a full 5% maintenance of effort and never restored it. How much money have the schools lost?
Excuse me, all we are deciding now is speaking on the merits on this resolution here. to change the interest.
Yep, I'm just giving a little history as to why perhaps it is very important that this resolution gets passed and that we get these schools built. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public? Councilman Sinapi.
So I can echo my former English teacher's statements about the state of Tollgate, both from my own personal experience and my siblings. And given the how much this resolution would help, I'd move favorable action.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It is now 7:13, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now adjourned.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you to the committee for your support. The next committee is the Appointments Committee, and that can take place at this time. And then after the Appointments Committee, we will start the full council meeting. We do have some guests here this evening, so thank you.
Good evening. The time is now 7:14. The Appointments Committee comes to order. First up is the acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on April 17th. Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Up this evening, we have two appointments for consideration. First is the appointment of John Smith to the Historic District Commission. This is a new appointment. You will find all the paperwork in your packet for Mr. Smith. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments on Mr. Smith's appointment? No? Members of the council? Any members of the public? Is Mr. Smith here? Ah, thank you for joining us. Would you like to say anything, sir? No pressure. Yeah, no pressure. Hearing nothing from the committee, the council, or the public, do I have a motion?
Make a motion for favorable action.
Second.
Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Welcome to the Historic District Commission.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. And next up is a new appointment to the Wildlife and Conservation Commission. Miss Kate Fitzpatrick. Is Kate in the room? Given that this is a new appointment, and per our rules, I'm going to ask that we. Well, let's ask if anyone has any questions or concerns on this one. And then if none, I would say that we hold this till our next meeting to make sure that Ms. Fitzpatrick can be here. Anyone from the committee have any questions or concerns on Ms. Fitzpatrick's appointment to the Wildlife and Conservation Commission?
Even if I did, I'd hold until she was here.
Okay. Anyone from the council? All right, so I will entertain a motion to hold at this point.
Make a motion to hold this appointment until June 5th.
June 5th.
Second.
Motion to hold made, seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
And with that, we are complete on the Appointments Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I just want to give a second for the clerk to get settled, and I would like to start the council meeting. For people at home, we will do roll call, salute to the flag, general communications. We have a guest this evening from the American Lung Association, and then we will pause to go into executive session, and then we'll finish committees. So